And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Week four of the fantasy season is upon us. Pete Jensen, Nick Alberga here from NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by our good friends over at Skip. Nick, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. That's right, Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. I was ordering those king-sized chocolate bars this weekend for this Halloween because it's scary times in this NHL world as you bring in the one and only, who's not scary, by the way, it's Anna Dua. What's going on, Anna?
Not much. It's been a good week for me, not a good week for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know what they say, there's no scarier place than Toronto for Halloween.
I know we're going to get to our waiver wire looks this week, certainly, and a lot to cover on this episode, but just your scope from over there, Anna, on the Toronto Maple Leafs so far.
It's been tough. That's the easiest way I can phrase it. They're 0-2-2 in their past four games. They went through this California road trip, not picking up a single win. And they picked up some losses, some OT losses against teams they really should have won again. So it's looking bleak. There are some players that did stand out to me. I know we had a fan write in on whether they should pick up William Nylander or Jake Guentzel. I think Nylander has stood out to me as something the Leafs can be excited about, but the team as a whole, it's really rough out there.
I think it's important to stress, and they always like to get on me and Leafs Twitter that it's just one game, one of 82. I still think this team is going to be a team that could be a force to be reckoned with through the regular season, certainly into the Stanley Cup playoffs. They do this every year. In fact, they actually started worse last year. In my opinion, they're just way too talented to play this type of hockey for the majority of the season. So mark my words, in the next couple of weeks, they'll go on a seven-game run and they'll sort of forget about their issues. Having said that, I just think there's a systemic issue. I don't think this team is able to win when it matters most, when are, you know, able to win when the season's on the line. And I think that's the bigger story. The bigger picture here is that a lot of the skeletons from the past are coming to the forefront early on in this season, where you just see the lack of urgency, the lack of desperation. And as you guys know, those are sort of the intangibles that you need to win and get over that top, right? Pete, you look at Colorado last year as a perfect example.
Right. And Anna, when you compare them to some of these hot starters in their own division, I mean, you're talking, remember when we were saying in the preseason, especially you, I had the same thing, waiver wire, James, same thing. We had Toronto missing the playoffs and we caught a lot of flack for that. And people were saying, really, you think Toronto could finish fifth or sixth in the Atlantic division? I mean, in some categories, they're even lower than that. They're seventh or eighth. So is, I mean, maybe that's not going to remain the case for the whole season. I don't think it will. But when you see teams out there like Montreal, like Buffalo, like Ottawa, you know, steamrolling through the first two, 3 weeks of the season, you have even more concern because it's not like they're a playoff lock like years past.
We had them barely missing the playoffs, and I feel like that's rather generous right now, given how they started off the season. But just to spin it from the team to a little bit more of a fantasy perspective, something that people can be a little bit excited about is with Toronto, you always have the big two. It's Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner. Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner. On the blue line is Morgan Rielly. Those are three players that I haven't been that impressed with so far this season. However, I mentioned William Nylander. What about John Tavares? He's another player who's in the mix. He has 38 shots on net so far, which is way up there compared to players like Mitch Marner through the first month of the season. So with William Nylander, John Tavares, maybe even Nick Robertson, who came in there and had a great debut game with the Leafs this season, there are some pickups down the Leafs lineup that I think are very valuable right now if you're kind of disappointed with the play of the big three guys on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, to that point, I think we've seen a lot of variations of some different lines over the last little while. It's quite clear and profound that Sheldon Keefe is looking for some sort of answer. In fact, we saw William Nylander be the third line center in that loss to the Anaheim Ducks on Sunday. So it just opens up a whole different scope, especially if, you know, a lot of these guys get more reps. The dual eligible position there, certainly with a guy like Nylander, could be a thing too. I just don't know outside of the big boys where you're looking. I would say the brightest spot so far, Pete, has been definitively Ilya Samsonov, right? Coming off that disastrous season for the Washington Capitals. I think he's been the bright light for the Maple Leafs through 10 games so far.
Yeah, and who would have ever thought that that would have been a case? But that's a nod to a young goalie in a bounce-back situation for a top-heavy team. Hopefully he gets more goal support and he could end up being a top 15 fantasy goalie if they turn this thing around. And yeah, Nick Robertson, Anna, he's built off the debut. I know he got benched a little bit the other day, but he's got 4 points in 6 games. Maybe there are some better outside options that we can talk about as we move on with the show. But Nick Robertson, hopefully he'll stick in the lineup in a top six role. He's the only guy where I see somebody emerging that has untapped potential, because this is a top heavy group that we know all the big names by now. We know the big four or five. And then other than that, it's a matter of who's going to step up and fill some of these secondary roles, whether it's him or Kerfoot or somebody else.
Just to tap back in on the Ilya Samsonov comment, I'm coming at you from Washington, D.C. today, where we were really excited about Samsonov back in the day, thought that maybe he was going to be the goalie of the future for the Washington Capitals, had some good runs with the team, and then it just kind of fell apart. So I think I'm going to need to give him a couple more months before I have that confidence with him in Toronto. But I'm playing devil's advocate here. And speaking of Devils, what about the New Jersey Devils? So many options on that team for fantasy pickups right now throughout the entire lineup. Can they maintain it? Yes or no, Pete?
I mean, they can with that metric that they're leading the NHL in shots on goal per game and allowing the fewest per game. I mean, that is something that indicates they have staying power. Last I checked, I think late last week, they had the worst team save percentage in the entire league. That's improved a little bit now with Vitek Vanacek going on a three-game rampage where he only has allowed three goals in the span.
Yeah.
And that's another one of those guys that you saw down in Washington.
Yeah.
He outperformed Samsonov the past 2 years. Both of those goalies went their separate ways. Samsonov to a better team, we thought, and Vanacek to a worse team, we thought. But hey, I mean, if you're rolling two or three strong lines for Jersey, and you're getting the possession metrics like that, Nick, especially at 5-on-5, you give yourself a chance any given night.
Yeah, this is the perfect example of it's early. It's 10 games in, how we're anointing the New Jersey Devils and just completely crapping on the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? The sample size has to be larger, but I don't know if you heard me there. I said frauds. I do think the New Jersey Devils are frauds. Like, to the extent where I don't think they're as good as their record. Let me clarify that. But they've beat Anaheim, the Islanders, San Jose, Detroit, Colorado is a nice win, but they're not really playing right now. And then my lovely Columbus Blue Jackets, and we'll get to them on today's show. Don't worry. They did something remarkable in the month of October, so we're going to cover that. But I do think New Jersey's much improved. Dougie Hamilton's been much better this season. And Pete, I got to give you the nod. Fabian Zetterlund, he's looked really, really good the last couple of games, eh?
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about, right, Anna, where there are different guys that you can go to on a single game basis in DFS. Shot props, especially for Zetterlund. He's got 15 shots in his first four games of the season. He's got 10 points in his first 18 NHL games, dating back to last season where he got a cup of coffee in Jersey. And then when you look at Jesper Bratt, we were talking about it on the previous show with Chris Meaney, one of the most underrated players in the league, in his opinion. Yeah. And how could you deny that right now, leading the entire NHL in points per 60 minutes? And he's got 15 points in nine games on a one-year prove-it contract. I mean, this guy deserves a lot more term and a lot more money than he's currently making.
He's definitely been a standout player in my opinion, but just to keep seeing the praises, I had some fans actually tell me that they picked up this player because what I said the offseason, but he's brought it into the regular season. Dawson Mercer, still 20% rostered. And come on, what an October for him. First of all, big 21st birthday for Dawson Mercer on October 27th. So happy birthday to him. But regardless of that, Jesper Bratt, who's had a phenomenal start to the year, 4 power play points. Dawson Mercer, 3 power play points. And he's had a great time with the New Jersey Devils, despite not having the best lineup position. Still 20% rostered. Is that doing him a little bit of disservice, Nick?
I tell you, he's mentioned as much as Skip, and Skip's our official partner in the show, right? Like, we're getting, I get it, Anna. He's a good player. No, I think the radar is certainly on for New Jersey in general. And I think you're bang on, certainly in that top six in New Jersey. The way they're scoring goals, I think you want any piece you can get, whether it's somebody on the back end, up front. I would still be a bit leery to pick up one of those goaltenders, whether it be Vanacek or Blackwood. Like, certainly Vanacek would be on my watch list, considering what he's done, the rampage Pete said he's on. But yeah, like the Devils are a great story early on, but I would love to have this conversation like a month from now, Pete.
And hopefully a month from now, a guy like Nico Hischier, who's currently producing better than a point per game, and Hischier's on the line with Zetterlund, and then Bratt's on the other line with Hughes. I mean, that's the blueprint of the Devils, right? When they drafted these guys a couple of years apart from one another, plus Mercer, the center depth is one of the strengths of the team. That's what's riding in their favor to sustain this hot start to the season. But as we're looking at other top waiver wire options around the league. A couple guys come to mind that are, you know, readily available. Brandon Hagel, Tampa Bay Lightning, Victor Olofsson, Buffalo Sabres, guys like that, that are, you know, I think Olofsson's one of the most underrated snipers in the league. And I found a great stat on him yesterday, Anna, that Olofsson is the only player in the NHL this season with three multi-goal games. Your thoughts on those two players?
The Buffalo Sabres have very much surprised me so far. And they're one of those teams where I don't necessarily see it slowing down. They have a lot of talent, and I think their talent is just progressing faster than we expected it to, as opposed to it not being there. And they're showcasing that they can hold their own against very dominant teams. So I actually really like Victor Olofsson. When I take a look at Brandon Hagel, you can't really go wrong with the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Florida Panthers right now. I mean, they're still very dominant teams, and I think he's shown that he can be a part of this dominant Tampa Bay Lightning team. So those are two players that I really like. Between the two of them, I am very excited about Olofsson. That's a great stat that Pete just mentioned. And the entire Buffalo Sabres team is just like producing like crazy. It's crazy to see this happen this early on. I didn't have them making the playoffs this year, but I genuinely do think it could happen.
Yeah, Buffalo is a team I'm actually looking at this week. As you guys know, the schedule, 49 games in total. Buffalo has a four-game slate, one of seven teams in the NHL who play four times. So it's a favorable sched. I would look at Olofsson. I would look at Casey Mittelstadt. Is there the staying power of, say, a couple years ago for Victor Olofsson? I'm undecided, just more so because of the guns that they have as opposed to a couple years back, where he's not like the definitive stud anymore, the sniper, the guy who's going to shoot everything. They got some other guys on that roster. But Buffalo's been a great story. Let's not forget, they've pretty much done it with Jack Quinn and Owen Power being really, really quiet offensively, Pete.
That's what I was just going to mention. Owen Power, I mean, a lot of people dubbed him as a top 30 fantasy defenseman based on his upside in his kind of second, not full season, but his second taste of the NHL, really. He played a little bit down the stretch last season. He hasn't done very much at all. No goals so far, a couple of helpers. Are you dropping a player like Owen Power or Jake Sanderson, guys? Because these are players that I think over the course of the season will improve and outperform some of the guys near the lower end of the totem pole in our top 50 defenseman rankings. But right now, if you have one of those two guys and you're looking out there on the waiver wire and you see a Vince Dunn ripping it up for the Kraken, you see a Brandon Montour, you see a Matt Grizzlick, right? I mean, you're tempted to make that move in a non-keeper league.
Yeah, I think I'm pulling the trigger, guys. You know, it's very similar to John Klingberg, who got 2 points in his first game of the season, hasn't registered a point since. And I think you mentioned there's so much value on the waiver wire right now when it comes to defensemen. And more times than not, it does seem to be sustainable for these guys who have these unbelievable Octobers and it rolls until the, you know, the duration of the season. I think on Power and a non-keeper, I'm just saying, you know what, I'm going to kick this can down the road. I'm going to drop him. He's likely going to stay on the waiver wire until he starts to produce. And I think a big reason, obviously, is Rasmus Dahlin, what he's done in the early going of the season. He's just been so good that he's been playing so much. And I think to that point, and I think you got to expect a bit of turbulence with young defensemen. They can't all be Mo Sider. They come into the league and they rip it up. And I think we do forget that is the age factor, this whole thing, right?
Very true. And Pete mentioned some options that I think are a little bit more favorable than Owen Power right now, namely Vince Dunn. It's been kind of quiet over in Nick's end on the fade the Kraken front this season so far.
I'm taking the Kraken now. That's
you're
the new
taking
motto.
The Kraken. Yeah. We're switching it around, and rightfully so, because the top four teams in the NHL right now in goals scored so far in October, Boston number one, Los Angeles number two, Edmonton number three, the Seattle Kraken number four. So we're taking the Kraken this year, and Vince Dunn is their go-to guy on the blue line. This is a team that produces points in games where they lose the games. So Vince Dunn is a player that I would absolutely take over Owen Power. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, that's exactly the player I wanted to bring up, one of many on today's show. Are you guys buying or selling? And clearly I know what Anna's doing. Very likely Pete is doing the same, but you look at the body of work, 10 games, one goal, 7 points. I even went back to last season, guys. He's got 22 points in his last 33 outings. That's a 55-point pace. Pete, how long have we been trying to proclaim and pontificate that Vince Dunn was going to have a breakout season? It could actually be here, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember I was talking about him on the network show in the preseason, but first week of the season, the newcomer, Justin Schultz, took over, and that was kind of one of those recency bias ads where you say Seattle improved in the offseason, and you know, they're rolling with Justin Schultz, but then he went into a dry spell. Dunn has been getting progressively better despite, like, even last year he had a career high in points per game, but he was playing behind Mark Giordano for most of the season and then finished strong after they traded Giordano to the Maple Leafs. So that's something to look out for. He's been waiting for a power play one role to lock down, dating back to his time with St. Louis, right? First they had Petrangelo, then they had Torrey Krug, then it was last year Giordano. I mean, give this guy his due and let him sit up there with guys like Matty Beniers. Jaden Schwartz is another guy to pick up in fantasy this week. He's been amazing. He was underrated last year and super underrated in his St. Louis Blues tenure. So a lot to like about St. Louis. I mean, a lot to like about Seattle's deep offense these days.
Yeah, I am taking the Kraken though, Anna. Don't worry about it. This is their year.
Glad to hear. And also just another quick pitch. Everyone listening is going to be like, I'm talking about him again too, but I have to because he's still under 50% rostered. Andrei Burakovsky, 47% rostered right now. And he's been having a phenomenal season so far for the Seattle Kraken. He's getting goals on the board. He's producing points. He's just a phenomenal player to pick up. So if he's still available, that's probably one of my biggest targets right now.
I like it. I like it. I think we should go in the crease as well. I'm sure you guys saw on Saturday, Jake Oettinger got banged up. Perhaps by the release of this podcast, we'll have a further extent of the injury. Didn't seem good, but I think clearly you're looking at Scott Wedgwood, and I wouldn't sleep on Anton Khudobin, who's in the American Hockey League right now. If you're looking for replacements, Jake Allen, what a great story. The Montreal Canadiens have been in the first month. Stuart Skinner, Pete, who we've talked about a lot, including on last week's episode. Aiden Hill, what a marvelous story right now for the Vegas Golden Knights and Vitek Vanacek. There's options out there, but it dries up quickly. Who would you pick up, Pete, in terms of filling in, big shoes and big skates and Jake Oettinger?
Well, there are pieces to be grabbed from the Buffalo tandem. Comrie's coming back down to earth a little bit, but Craig Anderson, the good thing about him, even though he's so old, well into his 40s, he's not playing every night. And he's given Comrie a little break. He might actually be more consistent than Comrie over the course of the season. There are going to be some ups and downs. There are going to be some 4 or 5 goals allowed games from both of those guys. But if Buffalo's much improved, they're going to provide the goal support with 2 or 3 good lines and 2 good power play units up in Western New York. I think that there is some appeal to the Buffalo tandem. And it's not just Comrie, who we touted last week. It's Craig Anderson, believe it or not. So that's one guy I'm seriously considering. And then, yeah, Vitek Vanacek we talked about. And then you look at Wedgwood, I think was decent last year. He's not really off to a great start. I don't have that much trust in Scott Wedgwood, but Dallas has been a good start to the season. And we'll see what they're made of if Oettinger misses any time. I don't like their prospects without Oettinger.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree. Like, I can't go to a level where I'm owning a Buffalo Sabres goalie. I'm sorry. Like, they're a bomb waiting to blow up. And I just think Dallas defensively will just short things up. Wedgwood's a look. I think you're right, though. Like, I think you're looking for those spot starts. Jake Allen's a name who comes up, and certainly Vanacek. But where would you look, Anna, in terms of a goalie right now? Do you have any options?
You teased him a little bit, Aiden Hill. I think the Vegas goalie tandem right now is a place to look for sure. We've seen how well goalie tandems have done in Vegas before, and behind that Golden Knights team, I mean, Aiden Hill has just played phenomenally so far, 0.940 save percentage in 4 games. Logan Thompson, 0.943, so they're both in the 9-4 range right now, and the Vegas Golden Knights, Jack Eichel, that entire team is showcasing that they're not ones to be counted out this year. I kind of had my doubts about them heading into this season, just given their goaltender situation. That was my biggest concern. Seems that they've addressed it, not just with one goalie, but with two.
One other name to maybe consider on the goalie front that I never would have thought in a million years, Alex Stalock. Chicago Blackhawks have been surprisingly competitive this year, 4-3-2 through 9 games. And Stalock's got a 9-14 save percentage, keeping them in games, high save volume. Do you guys see any appeal in picking up a Stalock? Do you see any appeal in picking up a Max Domi, who's playing on the top line with Patrick Kane? Start with Nick here.
Yeah, I like that you brought Chicago up. We know it's going to be a long year for them. We know it's very likely Patrick Kane's going to go at the deadline. Ditto for Jonathan Toews, who, surprise, surprise, is having an outstanding offensive contract year. But they've been a devil this year early on in terms of an opponent for any team. Like, it could be a contender. It could be a bottom, seller team where I think they're keeping things competitive. And along those lines, Max Domi, I think you're bang on. I think the attachment to a Patrick Kane cannot be overlooked right now. As long as the production continues, I know Seth Jones is out of the lineup for the next little while. I've been really, really impressed with Chicago. Can I get to that level of streaming, say a Stalock? I guess based on opponent, but I wouldn't go further than that. How about you, Anna?
Chicago does have a hockey team. That's what I'm going to say right now. There's players on that team that might be players people are excited about, but I'm all for jumping the gun. I have been so far this show. This is one team I simply just cannot get behind. I think they're going to have some good games. I think they're going to maybe be able to compete in some games, but now I'm going to say it for the first time. It's still really early. I don't see them maintaining this heading forward at all. And Max Domi in particular, one player, when he entered the league, there were a lot of expectations about him. He's been through a lot of different teams. Every single time there's been some expectations for him to perform. Sometimes he gives us a little taste, but eventually kind of falls flat. So even though he's on that line with Patrick Kane, I don't really have faith right now.
Domi had what, like a 70 point season at one point earlier in his career. That seems like ancient history, but again, good to see him playing good hockey once again in a top flight role after he wasn't he a fourth liner on the Hurricanes last year? I mean, that's rags to riches right there. I love it. Looking at other top liners out there, Evan Rodriguez jumped up top because Nichushkin was injured. The Avalanche are reeling a little bit. They blew a big lead, a 3-0 lead against the Islanders on Saturday. That was a train wreck of a game from their standpoint, but they're going out to Finland for the Global Series now. Maybe a chance to turn it around in a little sweep against the Blue Jackets. We'll see, guys. It'll be a fun outing for them out in Finland for Mikko Rantanen. But again, with Rantanen and MacKinnon, Nick, they're going to have Evan Rodriguez up there at least for as long as Nichushkin is out.
So firstly, I think it's funny. Colorado's 4-4-1, Toronto's 4-4-2. We're writing the obituary on the Leafs, but Colorado's okay. But I get it. They won the Stanley Cup last year. Evan Rodriguez, you're so right. Like, this is the guy, at least in DFS, you're looking at right now. Again, the attachment. It was similar to our Terry Lehkonen earlier in the season, but the injuries are starting to pile up for Colorado. I think it's a hangover. It's going to be a smaller hangover because there's so much talent on this roster. Cale Makar's got 0 goals in 9 games to start the season. The one constant, though, their power play still rocks. It's still number one in the NHL. I think the goaltending has actually been much better than I expected so far to a degree. And I think in general, Colorado's going to be okay, but certainly a guy like Rodriguez, Anna, this is why they brought him in, right? He can play on your third line. He can play on your first line. Like, he's a perfect example of versatility.
He was great in Pittsburgh too. He just didn't really get that opportunity to take that next step that he can. He's taking it in Colorado, given the situation they have with all of their injuries. He's been giving a great chance to actually prove what he's worth. And I'm not surprised that he's doing well with the Avalanche. I don't think he's going to stop doing well with the Avalanche. He's a player I would absolutely consider picking up. And the difference between Toronto and Colorado for me right now is Colorado is missing some key pieces, and they're not seeing production from players who are going to turn around very, very quickly. I don't have as big of a concern in terms of how they're playing their lineup and how they're playing against opponents the way I do with the Maple Leafs. Yeah. So Rodriguez is a player that I'm absolutely targeting.
And he's really low roster percentage. So almost any league you can go out there and pick him up after his 2-goal game the other day against the Islanders in defeat. And he's also on power play one. And that's one thing last year that I remember. Last year, remember Crosby was banged up a little bit. Malkin was banged up at different points. Rodriguez was on the first power play for them. And the season at large in Pittsburgh last year, he was second on the team in shots on goal behind Jake Guentzel. Guentzel's been a beast when healthy, but Rodriguez, at least while these couple guys, Landeskog and Nichushkin, are out, really immense value. And another top liner I wanted to mention, I saw Ryan Hartman got injured for Minnesota. Freddie Gaudreau was playing up there already. Yeah. Frederick Gaudreau, Nick, was a guy that thrived last season and helped in a big way Kevin Fiala to have a career high and be top five in your top 10 and even strength points. What could he do with exposure to Kaprizov? And is that worth a look in fantasy leagues?
You know, I like to call him Freddie Hockey, the better of the good rose right now in the NHL. To it,
it's not true.
Really. I think at most I'm streaming him. In fact, I was thinking about this over the weekend. You know, I watched the Wild game. I'm like, well, Freddie Hockey's playing with Kaprizov, but still, I know Hartman's banged up, as you just mentioned, got hurt yesterday or on Sunday. I just wonder about the power play. Like, all this has to come 5-on-5. Like, he's going to get his cookies, but can he get to the level of Hartman the last couple of years? Unlikely. I think Gaudreau, again, is another example of a guy who can be elevated when you need him. And certainly they need him right now, but I just continue to wonder where in the world Marco Rossi is, considering the preseason he had in terms of production. It just has not been there, and I get he's really, really early. So that's probably the way I would handle Freddie Gaudreau. I'm sure, you know, we have some questions on him. It's just one of those wait-and-see types approaches. I want to see a long body of work before I dive in there, Anna.
There's other players to be excited about on the Minnesota Wild, though, other than Gaudreau, namely Joel Eriksson-Ek, if we're talking about the top six right now. He has 7 points, 4 goals in his first 9 games of the season. Matt Boldy, what a night for him last night. He had 2 goals. He has 8 points in his first 9 games this season, 5 goals for the Minnesota Wild. So it goes beyond Kaprizov, and it doesn't necessarily just stay with players who are playing with Kaprizov on the Minnesota Wild anymore. With Eriksson-Ek and with Matt Boldy, those are players I would target over someone like Frederick Gaudreau.
So I wanted to tie this in with some of the questions we've been getting, and again, tons this week. So thank you to everybody who wrote in some potential buy low targets. And Pete, we'll start with you in terms of, would you go bargain hunting on these guys? Sam Reinhart, 2 assists in 9 games. Elias Lindholm, 2 goals in 7 games. Teuvo Teravainen, no goals, 8 games. And Mackenzie Weegar, 3 assists in 7. Would you look at any of those guys in terms of buy low targets right now?
Yeah, almost all of them are great options. I think Sam Reinhart, what he did last year on the third line, being a point-per-game player, can't be overlooked despite a slow 10-game start or something like that. The category coverage of Mackenzie Weegar cannot be overlooked either. The Carolina guys have sputtered a little bit, whether it's Teravainen, and a lot of people also asking about Seth Jarvis in his second season. Is he in the midst of a sophomore slump, or is he going to turn it all around with exposure to Sebastian Aho? It's kind of strange in Carolina, Anna, because the team's playing well overall, but we see some holes in the top six and it doesn't always translate to production, right? So I'd be patient with Teravainen. I'd be more quick to cut the cord with Seth Jarvis just because he doesn't get that top power play production so far in his career.
I think there's so much talent on that team that when some players like Andrei Svechnikov start riding a hot start, it takes away from the secondary production we saw when he was slumping a little bit last season, specifically in the playoffs when we were talking about Seth Jarvis a lot. It was largely because players like Svechnikov weren't getting their name on the score sheet, and it's just flipped around right now. But you mentioned Lindholm for the Calgary Flames, so I want to go back there. He's probably the player that stood out most to me from that list you gave me, because what a phenomenal year he had last year. It's been kind of slow, but it's not been terrible in my opinion. He's only had 15 shots on net so far this season, got 2 goals on those 15 shots. So if he just creates a little bit more opportunity, I see that going up very, very quickly. I did say he is one of those players who can shoot very, very well when he does get the opportunity to do so. So if he flips that around, he's a player that I'm targeting. Mackenzie Weegar, I was very excited when he moved up to the Calgary Flames, but it seems as though he's not their definitive number one blue lineman at this moment, and they're kind of fighting for that position with Rasmus Anderson. So I'm kind of debating with him a little bit just because I don't know where he falls into the lineup. But Lindholm, on the other hand, I think he's going to pick it up really quickly in November.
I also wanted to mention, as a buy low team, the Vancouver Canucks. They just bounced back over the weekend, consecutive wins. Look at their upcoming schedule. Go out there and try to get a piece of this team before everybody views them as a contender again. Go pick up Andrei Kuzmenko, consecutive multi-point games. Remember, coming over from Russia. I think he's been a good influence on that team overall with his experience there and just a new wrinkle for the team. Upcoming schedule, New Jersey Devils at home, Anaheim Ducks at home, Nashville Predators at home, at Ottawa, at Montreal, at Toronto. I think after those 6 games, you could see them really close up some ground, because even though they had the long losing streak to start the season, Nick, they got these 2 wins now, and they picked up a couple of overtime loss points in the process as well. So they're not actually that far behind the middle tier of the Pacific, despite their slow start.
Most importantly, they instilled fear in that locker room, which I think is a vital thing to do in 2022. They said, yeah, we might trade all of you, so you better pick up your play, because it's not just going to be the head coach. And then lo and behold, 2 back-to-back victories and an impressive weekend overall for the Vancouver Canucks. I'm with you. I'm endorsing that tweet, RT, verbal retweet, whatever you want to do with it. Kuzmenko, I'm all over right now. I think there's still buy low appeal to like a JT Miller. Quinn Hughes, I know he's been banged up, but once he's good and back, I'm looking at him. Thatcher Demko, across the board, I'm a bigger believer than most people, as you guys know, in the Vancouver Canucks. And I know it was a horrifying start to their season, but I think they're going to figure it out. Quite frankly, I think they should figure out what they know they are at this point. They're a middling team that's going to be battling for a playoff spot. For all these aspirations at Connor Bedard, no, they're just too much talent on that Vancouver roster, Anna.
Kuzmenko, Pete mentioned, is a player that I'm looking at. But when I look at the Canucks as a whole, my God, is there a more jinx sentence you can say to a Canadian team than look at their schedule the next week? Look at who they're playing against. That's what we said about the Toronto Maple Leafs. They went out to California and had a disastrous trip. So I'm not, and I love how Pete started it off with the New Jersey Devils, who are demolishing the league right now, top of the Metro, and the Anaheim Ducks, who just beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. So when I take a look at that schedule, I don't know if I'm buying into the Vancouver Canucks as a whole just yet. I think there are a lot of teams that have stood out to me more in the Pacific than the Vancouver Canucks at the moment. There are players like Kuzmenko, who I do endorse picking up. I think he's shown that he's talented, but I don't know if they're turning it around just yet. I want to see how this road trip plays out.
This is perfect correlation to the next topic I want to get to. Who's the first coach fired here, guys? Is it Brad Larsen in Columbus, Pete? I know I teased this earlier on. This is a perfect tease, but their October is over. They won 3 games out of 10. I could not believe my eyes. I've watched a lot of Columbus games. You guys know they didn't score a power play goal in October? 0-25. You pay Johnny Gaudreau $1 billion a year and you could not produce a power play goal? That's concerning, Pete.
Yeah, they were missing Laine for a little bit, but that's inexcusable.
Yeah.
And that team, I think, is going to have a real hard time getting out of the bottom of the Metro Division this year, especially with the much improved Devils. The Islanders rattled off wins right against the Rangers at home, at Carolina, and home against Colorado. Does it get any better than that? The Islanders are back again as well with their strong goalie tandem, a touch of scoring from Oliver Wahlstrom, Brock Nelson. It's still October 31st, so get in on Brocktober. He's a great, strong starter to the season almost every year and had a career high in goals last year. So you even look at a team like the Islanders a little bit differently. So that's real bad news for those Blue Jackets.
I agree that the Columbus Blue Jackets, I just don't see a way for them digging themselves out of this hole, because the Eastern Conference as a whole is strong. We're talking about them trying to make a playoff spot, which is a far-fetched dream at this point, but it's against not just the teams in their own division in the Metro. There's no way they're going to get a wild card spot against any of the teams in the Atlantic either. There's just nothing they can do to really turn this team around right now. And so I agree with Nick. I think we might be looking at some moves behind the Columbus bench coming up soon.
Anna, thanks so much for joining us. Everybody can catch Anna on the 3 to Watch segment on Fridays, previewing the weekend games. Also, keep an eye on NHL.com/fantasy. We're dropping those daily picks for all the key categories, right? A player to watch for goals, assists, power play points, shots on goal, goalie save volume. Anna's a big part of that. And some of those picks, including Matt Boldy yesterday, hitting some home runs left and right. Thanks for joining us, Anna.
Thanks for having me. I'm opening up a psychic business, guys. After last night, I said I had a good feeling about Matt Boldy, 2 goals. So anyone has any questions, just hit me up.
Always great getting Anna on the podcast. Speaking of which, stay tuned for our collaboration with the Action Network. I mentioned the Devils are frauds, could be teeing up the show as well.
We've had some good hits on that show first 3 weeks of the season, so we'll keep that rolling. You and Michael Lieboff today, I'm excited to listen to that one for sure. So for Anna Dua, Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.